Today is the first Sunday of the year 2019. Really, time flies so fast because this year I will be 57 years old and I will have to blow 57 candles on my birthday cake. Last year I blew 56, so this year I will have to be 57. All of you will also have to add one more candles on your birthday cake as well, and you can't run away from that. But be thankful. Be thankful that you have another candle to blow or more candle to blow. It just means that you have one more year to live and you are still around to enjoy life. Not everyone have that chance. Last year I attended to more than 50 over funeral services. And these people do not have that chance anymore to be here on the earth and to be with their families and friends. And those who perish on flight MH370 no longer have that chance, and neither do passengers on MH17. 189 people, including crew members on Line A, new Boeing 737 MAX 8, will not have that chance to grow old with their families as well as to experience the joy of parenthood. So even if you have the joint pain, or knee pain, or ngan-fa, or blur vision, you can still be thankful because you have another year. And this year also, I will be celebrating 30 years of serving as the church pastor of Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church. This church is the one and only church that I have ever pastored. And some pastors, or maybe many pastors, are more privileged than me because they pastor three or more churches, and I know of one pastor that pastored 8 churches. And many people have actually asked me, including members here in our own church, how do you, pastor, manage to stay so long in one church? And my answer will always be the same answer as it is. It is the love and the favor of God working in and through me. Now, brothers and sisters, it's more than a relationship with God that is established by the response of our faith. We come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior by coming to Him. And He puts it on these words, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you a rest. And also in John chapter 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him. That establishes a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes us one with Christ and opens the possibility of gaining all that He is in our experiences. But fellowship, as Apostle John is making clear in this first letter, is the actual experience of His power and wisdom, His love and life at work in us. He comes to us day by day. And we are to experience that with Christ day by day, working, living, and manifesting through us, to allow Christ to shine through each and every one of us. And there's nothing more exciting than that. And this experience of fellowship is continually ours if we live honestly with God and to shun all pretense and deceit. In other words, walking in the light is the secret of fellowship. Our theme for this year, 2019, is Arise and Shine. And if we are to arise and shine, we have to walk in the light to maintain an intimate, powerful, and fruitful fellowship with the Son of God. And therefore, it is fellowship which makes our Christian life filled with effectiveness. It is our fellowship with Christ that makes us our Christian life whiter and compelling and worth the living. Now, it sounds easy. It sounds easy, does it not? Just to be open and just to be honest and to cease pretending to be something we are not. And then all that God is available to each and every one of us. And we can live as God intended us to live and having all things in common with Him. And then this year will be a year that we will have another wonderful and prosperous year, another year where in which we can say we have lived for Jesus, a life that is true. But sadly, it is not so for every Christian. Sadly, it is not true for all Christians. Not all Christians can say that because they are continually shunning or shutting off the light of God. Knowing how to walk in the light is one thing. When it comes to translating it into practical living, it is something difficult to do. And that's why today you hear so many people, Christian and non-Christian, telling you he only know how to talk. He only know how to preach, but I don't see him applying it in his life. And they tell you, you Christian, you are just a hypocrite. And he said to us, some of you Christian talks about tithing, or the pastor talk about tithing, but he himself does not. He told us to love one another, but he has an unforgiving spirit towards someone. Oh, it's so sad to hear those things. As a Christian, it's so sad, and especially to hear even from the non-Christian. And today, John continues to go right on to point to us three very common practices regarding why it's so difficult to walk in the light. Therefore, cutting us off from the fellowship of the Son of God and from fellowship with one another as well. We have already looked at two of them, and there are only three kinds of practices that can cut off fellowship. And John listed them for us here. Every failure in fellowship is explained right here in the first chapter of John's letter. If we are having difficulties experiencing all that is promised to us in the Bible, we can find the reason for it here in these three practices. What are the three practices? Firstly, there is the man who ignores light. That is the man who never stops to look at what the light reveals. The lights of God are expressed for us in God's Word. It's always shining at us. It is always shining on us. But far too frequently, we never stop to look at what the Bible reveals. We never look at what it reveals to each and every one of us. We never examine ourselves. And we have already seen this. We avoid the channel of lights, such as the Word of God. We never read the Bible. The Bible is collecting dust at home. We don't even bring it to church on the Sunday service. And there's one way. The Word of God, if it is proclaimed from a pulpit like this every Sunday in churches, is a channel of God's light, because as the Word of God preached forth, it penetrates. As the Word of God preached forth, it searches the heart. It seeks out the inner life and exposes the thing that is dark inside us. And we are made uncomfortable with the Word of God, by the Word of God. And we discover that if we stay away and if we don't read the Bible, we do not experience the pricking of our conscience, which the light awakens in each and every one of us. So that's what happened. So Christians today still walk in darkness. In fact, we don't like having the light. Christian, we don't like having the light shining on us to reveal our darkness inside us. So first, there is the man who ignores light. That is the man who never stops to look at what the light reveals. And then second, there is a man who persistently denies the need for light. And that is the one who believes that the possibility of sin has been totally removed. And the man has advanced so far in the Christian experience. The man is now so-called mature in the Christian life that he can no longer sin. Or she can no longer sin. And if that is what you believe, then no wonder there is no need for light. And that is, as you recognize, that is an extreme form of self-righteousness, which John here immediately labeled as self-delusion. These people are actually deceiving themselves. These Christians are actually deceiving themselves. They actually believe that they can no longer sin, and there is no longer any possibility of evil in them. And you may say to me, Pastor John, are you sure there are people like that? Are you really sure that Christians who are so deluded that they have come to the place that they actually believe that they cannot sin? Well, unfortunately, I want to say to you, yes, there are some Christians like that. But I want you to know that we have not reached that place. We have not reached that place of perfect sinlessness in our lives. And if we think we have, then we are simply still walking in darkness. And today we come to the third of these practices. The case of the man who rationalizes the sin which the light reveals. And it's described for us here in chapter 1 verse 10. 1 John chapter 1 verse 10. And ignoring the chapter break, the first two verses of chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, Look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 10 and chapter 2 verses 1 to 2. And maybe one of the resolutions you need to make for 2019 is bring your Bible, hard copy Bible, to church every Sunday. Looking at 1 John chapter 1 verse 10 and then the first two verses of chapter 2. If we claim we have not sinned, we have made him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's an atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sin of the whole world. Here is the man who rationalizes sin. In the first practice, we refer to the man who ignores light because he does not like what the light reveals, so he keeps himself busy to see the light. And then the second practice, the man who says there is no need for light because he said, I cannot sin, therefore I can just go on to live my own Christian life as I see it. But now in the third practice, the man is saying, I do need the light. Of course, I can sin as a Christian. I know this. But when I stop to look at my life and examine myself, what I see is not sin. Weaknesses and failure perhaps, but not sin. I may have to admit that I have been weak, but I've not sinned. Or perhaps I have failed, but who hasn't? Now that's what John means here. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Essentially, this is an evasion of facts, an evasion of reality. It is the exercise of that terrible power of human mind, which we call rationalization, the ability to do wrong so that it looks right and commit evil so that it looks good. Who of us have not experienced this? In fact, we are all expert at it. We know well how to invent reason to do what we want to do and invent equally valid sounding reason to avoid what we want to avoid, and all the time make it sound as though there is really nothing we can do about it. And there are perfectly understandable circumstances that keep us from doing these things, and that is rationalization. When we are caught for stealing money that is not ours, we say is a loan or a gift. And when we are caught wearing a very expensive diamond ring for which we cannot explain, we say we purchase it with our own saving. And when we lost in an election, we claim that the opposition cheated and lied to win. No, even in the secular world today, there is a tendency to tone down a word. It is a loan. It is a gift. I saved my own money to buy it. Someone cheated and lied. I am doing this for the country. I sacrificed so much. And the word that we seldom hear is the word sin. I'm in the wrong. I cheated. I lied. I stole. It's all my fault. I'm totally responsible. Brothers and sisters, many people really do not know what the word sin means, but all of us have an uncomfortable feeling about it. We all know that it suggests something bad, and we do not like to use it about ourselves. And so we have invented a very fancy names for it. And what the Bible calls sin, we call human frailty. We call it bad tendencies. And we call it simply weakness, or maybe hereditary fault. We say it's our forefathers' problem. My grandfather, my grandmother, my father, my mother, I learned it from them. They are the ones who pass it down to me. And we even go to the extent of blaming environmental problem. The fancier the name, the more we like it because it sounds so much better than that simple, ugly, three-letter word, sin, S-I-N. Not four-letter word. It's three-letter word, sin, S-I-N. And that one way of saying, I've sinned, is to rename it and call it by a more pleasant name. It's like taking out the medicine from your cupboard and relabeling it as another name and using a better name for it as a hand lotion or a perfume. But it does not change the character of the poison. But it does make it sound a lot better. And also notice, when others do wrong, then we will call it sin. But when we do the same thing, we have a different name for it. Am I right? Others have prejudices, we have conviction. Others are conceited, proud, we are self-respect. When another man is lazy, we say so. But when we are lazy, we say we are too busy. When someone else goes ahead and acts on his own, we say he's presumptuous. But when we do the same thing, we have initiative. When someone else gets angry and blow up, we say he has lost his temper. But when we do that, we are merely showing righteous indignation. The Bible says it's okay. As long as we find a nicer label, we will never be able to treat the poison as it is. Now we laugh at these things. We laugh at it. And these are the reasons why so many of us are weak as Christians. And as long as we Christians laugh at them, we will never do anything about it. And we say, well, everybody does it. What's wrong? It's so common. Even the Christians at church do it. We are not perfect, no. What we do, God will understand. And as long as we take that attitude, we will always be in the grip of evil. We will always continue to walk in darkness, and we will not be able to arise and shine. 2019 will be exactly the same as 2018. Everyone is not joining the morning walk, so why should I? And I don't think anyone or many Christians are bringing the Bible, despite that Pastor John keep telling us to bring our Bible, but so not many people are listening to him, so why should I bother? And then there will also be people who say there will be people to serve. One person less like me make no difference. And God will bless me, even though I don't give my tithe, so why should I test him, take up his promise to test him? No, brothers and sisters, we will never treat this thing as a poison they are. As long as we permit ourselves to paste on the label that says something different. As long as we say it is all right, it's okay, whatever it is, it's okay. And why should I, when everyone else is not doing it, just enjoy the new year and whatever will be, will be. And maybe on a more spiritually sounding, people will say, well, I'm not in full-time ministry, so it's okay. No, I have a sister who actually tell me, Pastor John, you cannot wear a cross with you. No, I'm wearing a cross. From the day I accepted Christ, my mom bought me a cross. I wore that cross, and this elderly lady from our Chinese congregation saw me wearing that cross. She said, Pastor John, why are you wearing the cross? I say, what's wrong? He said, pastor should trust God, never be afraid. Why should you need to wear a cross? Christian can, but pastor cannot. Can you believe that? Members telling Pastor John cannot wear a cross, but they can wear a cross. No. I'm not in full-time ministry. I'm not paid to do the job. I'm not you. I'm not pastor. I'm so sorry. I don't have special gifting. And no wonder many Christians are not growing. And no wonder many Christians are not walking in the light year in and year out, year in and year out, year in and year out. They remain the same. 2018 and the coming 2019, you won't expect to see any changes. In fact, it has been the same for the past 10 years or maybe 20 years. Why? Because we have invented a lot of very fancy names for sin. And when we do use the word sin, it is for others who do wrong. The word sin just does not apply to us. And when we are really caught in sin, we will have many ways to excuse our sin. It is because of the pressure of circumstances that we are experiencing. We say it's nerves that cause us to speak impatiently to one another. We say it's tiredness. We say it's fatigue that makes us utter sharp words at home. We blame the pressure at work for losing our peace and making us worried and troubled and harassed. And we say it is our difficult neighbors that cause us to be resentful and bitter. If it is not for our difficult neighbor, I will be sweet, lovely, and kind. Now, I once counseled a man who was having an affair, and he blamed his wife refusal to have sex with him because of the baby. And then in another case, I counseled a woman for having an affair, and she said, my husband had no time for me. He has always been busy with work, and when he comes home, he's always tired. You know what? What we are saying or what I'm hearing is that it's not the problem of sin. It is circumstances. We have invented a lot of very fancy names for sin. And when we do use the word sin, it's for others who do wrong. The word sin is just not for us. Brothers and sisters, or when we are really caught in sin, we have ways to excuse our sin. It's because of the pressure of circumstances. It's because of the workload that I'm going through. We are experiencing. It is the nerves. It is tiredness. It's work pressure. It's our difficult neighbor. It's my wife. It's my husband. It's my pastor. It's my church. And we are saying that I know I should have said that or done this thing, but it's really, really not my fault. I just can't help it. It's because of the circumstances. And thus, these people are implying that it is not really sin. Sin is deliberate. Sin is willful, but I can't help it, so I have not sinned. Now, brothers and sisters, put that alongside what John said here. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now, again, may I say this to you? This is so common. So common among Christians today. I've been in the ministry for so many years since 1982. I've heard so many tales of problems and struggles and difficulties and hardship faced by the members. And sometimes I even have sleepless nights thinking about their problem. And this constant tendency of rationalizing sin and renaming what is wrong because of circumstances. It's not my problem why I'm not growing in church. It's because my church is not doing anything, or I'm not learning anything from the pastor's sermon. I'm not regular in church service because I need to work. Otherwise, who's going to feed my family? You know, I even have one Christian, a so-called mature Christian brother, who actually said this to me. Pastor John, I buy lottery tickets so that if I win first prize, I will give 10% to God. And that brother even have the guts to say to me, Pastor John, I will personally hand the 10% to you. And so far for the last 10 years, I've not received the 10% yet. So most probably he has not struck first prize. Now look further at what John says. He said this is not only an evasion of reality, but it is also a direct accusation against God. We make him a liar. John said, and his word has no place in our lives. In other words, we are shifting the blame to some unknown and unstated individual. We are putting it squarely on God. And as Christians, we always live in direct relationship with God. And there are only two people in life as far as your basic relationship is concerned. You and God. And so if you were to say that it is not your fault, then we are saying that it is his fault. It's not my fault. Then it is his fault. It's not my fault. God is yours. And these circumstances that you allow me to get involved with make it impossible for me to obey you. And therefore, you are to be blamed. I want to do it. Actually, Pastor John, you know my heart. You know what I really want to do and ought to do. I want to arise and shine. You know, I just created the acronym for arise, thanking God for A, another year, A, another opportunity. R is to read our Bible. I is to imitate Christ. S is to serve. And E is to evangelize. I want to do that. I want to come back for the morning watch. I want to give my tithes. And also the acronym FACTS, F-A-C-T, faithful, available, committed, teachable. I want to do that. I want to join the BSF, the Bible Study Fellowship. I want to attend a connect group. I want to go for water baptism. But because of the circumstances, I can't. I really, really, really can't. I just cannot. So it's really whose fault? It's your fault. You know, that is the oldest excuse in the world. It goes back way back to the Garden of Eden when God came looking for man in Genesis chapter 3. He said to him, why did you do this thing? And the man said, well, it's the woman you gave me. So it's your fault. If you have not given her to me, I would not have done it. And then when God said to the woman, why did you do it? She said, it's a serpent. It's your fault because you let the serpent talk to me. And so the blame goes right back to God. We are in fact calling God a rascal and a double crosser. And John even used a worse name for that. He said, we make God a liar. And the Bible makes it clear here that the Christian have a source of strength in Christ that is imparted to him from within. We are inwardly strengthened by Christ. And as the song said just now, we just sang this song, my life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. It's in you, it's in you, it's in you. The outer man can perish, but the inner man is being strengthened daily. Why? Because our lives, our strength, our hope is in God. It's in the Lord. And therefore, nothing outward should hinder us. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul says that, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he said, can life or death or things present, your circumstances or things to come, your pressure or the future of heights of depth or time or eternity, can anything else in all creation separate us from the strength of Christ, the love of Christ? And then what's the answer should be? The answer is no, nothing can. But that's not what we say. We behave in such a way that we are actually saying to God, Lord, there are just a lot of things that cut me off from you. And it makes it so impossible for me to serve you and to do what you ask me to do. Difficulties cut me off. And tiredness cut me off. Sickness and pressure and even family. Therefore, God, you are a liar. You say none of these things will do, but I say they do. Now, one of us is telling the truth. And one is lying. And I know who is it. It's you. It's me. Think of that enormity of that charge. And here is what we are constantly saying to God. Lord, it's your fault. You are not true. Here we are, mere human beings standing before you, a faithful and unchanging God, and charging him with faithlessness, implying that the reason for our weakness is not our failure, but his. We declare that he's not faithful to his word. We declare that he doesn't keep his promises. God denies himself and he's a liar. But of course, we don't say it. We don't say it. We may not even say to Pastor John, are you kidding? I've never said that before. Don't put words into my mouth. Well, then good for you. If you have never said that before, then look at your Christian life again. Today is the first Sunday of the year 2019. Have your Christian life changed for the better since the day you became Christian? Are you more fervent today than a few years ago? Are you more obedient today? Are you bearing good fruits? Are you living as the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Are you trusting God and giving your tithes? Are you attending any connect group? Have you brought anyone to church? Have you shared the gospel with anyone the last 3 years? Try looking right in the eyes, right, looking me right in the eyes and say without battling and I lead, Pastor John, my Christian life has changed for the better. My Christian life has changed for the better since the day I became a Christian. I'm more fervent today. I'm more obedient today. I'm bearing good fruits. I'm living as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I'm serving the church. I'm giving my tithes. I'm regularly attending Connect Group. I stopped smoking. I stopped gambling. I stopped beating my wife. I stopped lying. I brought people to church. I brought and led people to Christ for the last 3 years. If so, I praise the Lord for you. For those of you who have not, for whatever reason or excuses, then it is impossible for God to be wrong and us to be right. If that were true, we would be God, not him. It's simply an impossibility. Let us be honest and admit on the first Sunday of the year 2019 that we failed last year because we did not choose to meet the circumstances with his strength. Stop blaming it on anybody. Stop blaming it on the church. Stop blaming it on Pastor John. Stop blaming it on circumstances. Stop blaming it on God. And no wonder we lose fellowship. No wonder God seems to be our enemy and things go wrong. We find that the peace has fled our hearts and we are troubled, we are harassed, we are worried and we are upset. We find that ourselves easily losing our patience and we are baffled by it all, not knowing what is causing it all. Well, John explained what the trouble is. Now look at First John chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. The first part of verse 2, he says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. What does that mean? If we find ourselves sinning and inventing fancy names for sin or excusing our sin, putting the blame on the pressure of circumstances we are experiencing, John say here, we have a perfect defense available to us, a defense which the Father will gladly receive. We have an advocate with the Father who will rush to our defense immediately, but his defense is of no avail to us if we are still defending ourselves. There cannot be two advocates in this case. We either rely on his defense of us, or we must rely on our own defense. And as long as we remain defiant or evasive and still justifying and excusing ourselves, we will only be condemned. We will continue to remain as we are. We will not grow. We will not arise and shine. But if we will stop justifying ourselves, God will justify us. The blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse excuses. The blood of Jesus Christ only cleanses sin. And so if we say, yes, it wasn't the pressure, it wasn't the circumstances, it's because I chose to be impatient. It's because I chose to be resentful. It's because I chose to be worried and let anxiety grip me. Then, if we come to that place, we will discover there is one who stands before us and will restore our fellowship with him. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also the sin of the whole world. See, brothers and sisters, no one is kept away from God. Sin can never separate us from him, no matter how serious the sin, no matter how extreme it may be, no matter how long the sin may have continued, anywhere, anytime, any age, we can be forgiven. So stop rationalizing our sin. Stop rationalizing our sin. To excuse it, to justify it, cause something else, to make it look better, giving more excuses. From one excuse, we'll go to the second excuses. The second excuses, we'll go to the third excuses. Stop doing it. But instead, call it exactly what it is. Sin. S-I-N. Sin. And deal with it as it is. And do not bring it forward to this year, 2019. So let us have a fresh start with God this year. A fresh start with God where each and every one of us can arise and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just pray. We come before God this morning. As we make new resolution for the year 2019, the end of 2018, many people will make new resolution for 2019. And as we come before God to make resolution for 2019, I just want us to just pause this morning to just come before God and first look at ourselves. Are there things that we have done wrong, that we have been excusing ourselves and justifying what we have done, and maybe calling those things that we have done to something else to make it look better, instead of calling exactly what it is, sin, S-I-N. The Word of God said this morning that we are to deal with it as it is. We need to call sin, S-I-N, sin as it is. Deal with it, brothers and sisters. Deal with it as it is and not bring it forward to this year, 2019. Have a fresh start with God this year to arise and shine. And you say to God, God, forgive me. I have sinned. Don't blame it on circumstances. Don't blame it on others. Don't blame it on God. Just say, God, there's no but, there's no so. I have not done wrong. I have not read the Bible. I have not given my tithe. I have not been faithful. I have not served. I have not attended a connect group. I've been Christian for so many years. I have not gone for water baptism. Come before you this hour, this time, year 2019, on deal with all these things and stop giving excuses. Stop blaming on any circumstances or any people. But to come before you and say, God, thank you for another year. Thank you for another opportunity you have given to me to make it right, to come before you and to arise and shine. Lord, I come before you now this morning. I want to have a fresh start with you. I want to stop excusing, justifying, and calling something else to make it look better. All those things that I failed you in the year 2018, I come before you now to have this fresh start with God. Father, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for I have sinned. I've done wrong. And seek the Lord for His forgiveness this morning. Just wherever you are seated, just quietly, just raise your hand high and say, Pastor, help me make it right this morning. To come before God and just say, God, forgive me of my sin. Just raise your hand high. We're going to say a prayer for you. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. 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 Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, so many hands up. Just raise your hand high. You want to come before God to make it right this year for 2019. Just start afresh. Calling sin as it is. Calling no more excuses. No more Eve. No more but. No more so. But I feel I've sinned. Just make it right. Yes, all hands are up. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, you see the hands that are up. They're coming before you, Lord, that they want to make it right for the year 2019 and to deal with sin as I am sin as it is and not to bring it forward to this year 2019. Whatever they have committed, whatever sin as they have committed as it is, Lord, you have said that in your word, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and all our unrighteousness. So, Father, we thank you for this one who faithfully, genuinely, honestly come before you with their hands up to say, Lord, forgive me. I stop rationalizing sin, to excuse sin, justify sin, and to call something else to make it look better. And I come before you, Lord, to deal with it as it is. Lord, help these people. Help them. Let them have a fresh start with you this year. Whatever sin, Lord, they can be forgiven. No matter how long they have sinned and have not been doing things that is pleasing to you, they come before you, they can be forgiven. Because your word says so. You will forgive us when we come and confess our sin before you. So I pray for this one. I pray that you bless them and help them have a fresh start. A fresh start where their fellowship with you and with one another can be restored as they faithfully walk in deep relationship with you this year. May you help each one of us to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon each and every one of us. Thank you. For your word we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.